This is Scott Patterson from I Am All In with Scott Patterson. Let's be honest. The 90s gave us some great things. The music, totally rad. The fashion, so fly. Home decor, that's a different story. In HGTV's new competition series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars take on two homes frozen in time. Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights. Goodbye, honey oak cabinets. Hello, 21st century style. Totally 90s House special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 Central on HGTV.
Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready. Built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
There's so much research out there showing that any untreated disease in the mouth can transfer across the placental barrier and affect the health of the fetus, which includes but is not limited to amniotic fluid infections, for example, low birth weight of fetus, preterm labor, and all of these things. So definitely once you're pregnant, if you have not had good dental treatment, now is the time to take care of your dental health to maximize your chances of a healthy, smooth pregnancy and a healthy baby.
This podcast is meant to provide information on reproductive health. It does not establish a physician-patient relationship, and we would urge you to contact your treating provider regarding your care.
Dr. Krypek, we talked a lot about or oral health as it relates to fertility and pregnancy. But there are other diseases that can be affected by our oral health. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Sure. A lot of other diseases can definitely have, can get worse if your oral health is untreated. Most common one being Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, pneumonia, a lot of cancers. And a lot of these diseases can also have presenting symptoms in the mouth. For example, in uncontrolled diabetes, you can have, gum infections. You can have frequent ulcerations. You can have advanced periodontal disease, despite the patient being very optimal about their dental hygiene. And sometimes, your dentist is able to send you for further screenings. So there are diseases that can get affected because of poor oral health, like Alzheimer's, pneumonia, diabetes. We spoke about cardiovascular disorders, and so inflammatory bowel disease. And so similarly, there are diseases that can also have oral manifestations. And so your dentist may be able to send you for further screenings to be actually diagnosed with these conditions.
Amazing. And so it's so important for people to get their oral health taken care of.
Absolutely.
Dr. Krypek, I remember way back when I was in residency and my pregnant patients, they would have a toothache or they would have some type of oral problem. And sometimes the dentist didn't even want to touch them. They were afraid to take x-rays of the teeth because these patients were pregnant or were scared as to what anesthesia drugs they could give to them or what they can do and antibiotics. Can you tell us now today that it's safe and describe a little bit of the treatment of dental care in pregnancy and women who want to get pregnant?
Yes, definitely. Now, with the introduction of digital x-rays in dentistry, double shielding, I mean, it's completely safe to do x-rays and seek care if there's a need. But again, there's still that limitation on the amount of anesthetic you can use, the kind of anesthetic you can use. And if you're somebody who's pregnant and now need comprehensive dental work because you're in pain and there's no getting out of it, I mean, it's not going to be a pleasant situation. That is why it's so very important to be proactive and get any dental work that you need prior to being pregnant so that you don't have to go through all of this. Also, you know, when we're pregnant, and this goes for me as well, you're very, very skeptical. That baby is precious. So even if there's a 1% chance that something can cross the placental barrier and have these XYZ effects, you definitely would want to avoid it. And so I do see these concerns in pregnant women. But like I said, the materials over the course of years are safer now. There's a lot of research that backs the safety of these materials. Also, digital x-rays are extremely safe. In my office, we still double shield patients if we need to. Second trimester is completely safe for any dental work. Third trimester as well, but it's just a little bit more uncomfortable during the third trimester because you have to be reclined all the way back. You have to keep your mouth open. And so it's uncomfortable to have comprehensive dental care during the third trimester. That is why it's really important to seek preventive care in advance.
Yes, this is so important. So tell us, if you're a woman who's trying to get pregnant or are pregnant, what are some advice that you can give to our listeners out there in terms of how can they take care of their oral health?
So women who are trying to get pregnant, the same way we focus on taking prenatal vitamins and making sure that, you know, the rest of the body is healthy, we want to make sure that we go in to our dentist for a comprehensive oral evaluation, which involves not just the teeth, but the status of your gum, oral cancer screening, your joints. It's a full comprehensive exam. You definitely want to be screened for additional diseases. For example, sleep apnea can have manifestations in the mouth. So you definitely, your dentist can be able to screen you for those. If your dentist is recommending any dental work, make sure you do it before you get pregnant, ideally, because once you're pregnant, things become difficult. There are some restrictions on the amount of anesthetic that you can do, the type of anesthesia, radiation, and all of that. So you definitely want to make sure that you have taken care of everything in your mouth before you embark on that journey. Also, it's important to have a discussion on what to expect when you're going to be pregnant. So in our office, we have, for our new patient questionnaire, we have two options. Are you pregnant or planning on getting pregnant? And now we're considering adding a third option. Are you undergoing fertility treatments? Because that sort of guides our discussion into educating our patients in what to expect and what all can happen. Coming to, again, what all can happen is, as I mentioned, pregnancy gingivitis is one of the most common. That means you're going to be suffering from very sensitive gums, bleeding gums. And so it's very, very important that you come in for a cleaning every 3 months, sometimes even 2 months if it's a lot, instead of your regular 6 month checkup and cleaning. If you are pregnant and you have, for example, hypermeses, your teeth can break down very easily in that environment. And so your dentist may be able to make a mouth guard for your teeth to protect your teeth from that. Again, the pregnancy tumor's growth, if it is very painful, very big, you know, they can laser it out, remove it through a laser. We also talk about then, you know, things like once the baby is here, latching issues, which means tongue tie, screening them for tongue tie, and how sharing utensils can also transfer cavities to the babies. And how any active periodontal disease can predispose the baby to a host of other things. I do think, like, when women are pregnant, we're more, the chances of us making more lifestyle changes increases. Because, for example, if you tell me, hey, you have, looks like you have iron deficiency anemia, for example, and you need to take iron supplements for your health, I may or may not take it. But if I'm pregnant and you tell me, hey, you need to take iron deficiency, iron supplements for the health of your baby, I am more likely to make that conscious effort. And so I think especially like antenatal counseling, oral health counseling should be a very important and a big part of that as well. And that's what we incorporate in our office.
You're absolutely right. Sometimes telling a patient, oh, you need to do this, they may or may not do it. But if you tell them, hey, it's for the pregnancy, they may be more inclined to do so. And I didn't realize that pregnant women probably need to have a oral cleaning more like every 2 to 3 months instead of the usual 6 months. That's very interesting that they have to have cleaning so often.
Yes, because again, you know, there is that hyperactive response of their gums. And again, we do not want any bacterial buildup, any general buildup in their mouth, which can predispose them to any periodontal conditions. So being proactive and, you know, having a preventative mindset is very important.
Yeah, and for our listeners out there, Dr. Krypak also brought up hyperemesis. So hyperemesis gravidarum is when a woman has excessive vomiting, especially in that first trimester. They're bringing up the acid stomach contents from their stomach, which is very acidic, back up through their mouths as they're vomiting. And that acid just sits on the teeth, and it can deteriorate the teeth and then promote more bacterial growth. Is that correct?
Definitely. Your teeth can break down, and this can happen even if you have acid reflux, for example. You know, it can happen even that time. The enamel breakdown is so fast and severe that in many patients, we actually can see that the back of their teeth are all eroded, and they're very, very sensitive now. So that's why I suffered from hyperemesis as well in both of my pregnancies, and I used to wear a night guard, a mouth guard, because it was a lot, and my teeth had started to get sensitive. And so these little changes, preventative changes, can really help and are very important as well.
That's amazing. Can you tell us, do you have recommendations on what types of toothbrush should I have? What about what types of floss should I buy? What about a water pick? If I'm flossing, do I need to do a water pick as well? Can you give us some general dental advice on that stuff?
Sure. Well, electric toothbrushes, I think, need to be the gold standard for maintaining oral hygiene. They are pre-programmed, they are timed, so they really increase efficacy. And every single person, my kids use electric toothbrushes as well. So every single person at whatever age you are, you need to use an electric toothbrush. There are some wonderful brands out there. Whatever suits you is good, as long as it's an electric pre-programmed toothbrush. As far as flosses are concerned, again, there are personal preferences. I personally like the ribbon kinds, because they are gentler on the gums, especially in pregnant women, because their gums are already sensitive and prone to bleeding. The stringy threaded floss ones, I feel they're more a little bit more aggressive, and so they can cause more bleeding and the gums can feel sensitive afterwards. So I prefer the ribbon ones mostly because, again, they're gentler. As far as mouth rinses are concerned, again, alcohol-free mouth rinses are going to be very, very important, because alcohol-based mouth rinses, again, can lower the pH in your mouth, and you do not want that to happen. So there are a lot of good mouth rinses out there, any alcohol-free mouth rinses. Now, lately, there have been a lot of mouth rinses with coconut oil in them as well. Though there are not enough established research out there supporting the use of coconut oil, but it can definitely counteract the pH in your mouth, and so can be helpful in that way. Other than that, again, oral hygiene, maintaining good oral hygiene at home, brushing. Brushing at nighttime is sometimes even more important than brushing in the morning. At nighttime, whatever you have eaten is going to start to get deposited underneath your gums. And as we sleep, our salivary output reduces. It's like every 4 hours, our salivary output reduces, and the bacterial growth quadruples. That's why we wake up in the morning with bad breath. And so what you don't want is that those bacteria that are now growing when you're sleeping, that they then start damaging your gums and your teeth, because they're feeding off of the food that you have eaten throughout the day. So it's really important to sleep. Before you go to sleep, floss, brush, and rinse. I always tell my patients to remember FBR, floss, brush, and rinse. The flossing can be the floss of your choice. I personally don't prefer the floss picks for adults, because it doesn't go in between your teeth well enough. Floss picks are great for kids. I like the ribbon floss. And then you brush using an electric toothbrush. As far as toothpaste are concerned, over-the-counter fluoride toothpaste are really great. Hydroxyapatite is really great. You don't need necessarily, if you have a lot of sensitivity, you can use a prescription strength fluoride toothpaste and your dentist can recommend that for you. But otherwise, over-the-counter fluoride toothpastes are good. And then you rinse. You can rinse with water or you can rinse with an alcohol-free mouth rinse.
What about a water pick? Should they incorporate that too?
So water pick is an adjunct to flossing, not a replacement for flossing. Water pick works really well for patients who have a lot of spacing in their mouths, and most people don't. So it can be a good adjunct, but not a replacement for flossing. You can definitely use a water flosser after you floss to kind of dislodge the remaining food that might be there, but it's not a replacement for flossing.
Excellent. You also brought up one other thing. Overnight, the bacteria increases, and that's why in the morning we wake up with bad breath. Should someone brush their teeth first thing in the morning before they eat breakfast, or should they brush after breakfast, or should they do both?
So definitely brushing before breakfast is very important because you want to get rid of all the bacteria layer on your tongue, in your mouth, everywhere. Brushing after breakfast is not recommended. Again, it has to do with the pH of your mouth. When you eat and drink, the pH of your mouth does drop. And so when you're brushing the acid all over your mouth. And again, that can increase the sensitivity on your teeth, and you don't want that, especially brushing right after drinking coffee. That can be very detrimental to your mouth. So every time we eat, we snack, the pH in the mouth naturally drops. And when it's dropped, you don't want to use abrasive toothpaste, which most of the over-the-counter toothpaste are to an extent. So that can be damaging to your teeth. And over time, you will notice sensitivity developing in your teeth.
You just mentioned something super important. I always worry about tea stains and coffee stains. And I'm like, as soon as I'm done drinking my tea, I'm going to go brush my teeth. But now I'm hearing perhaps maybe wait a little bit.
Wait a little bit or rinse your mouth with water. That's the best thing that you can do, just rinsing your mouth with water. Again, for teeth staining, I always recommend my patients use a straw. I know you can't drink coffee out of a straw, but, you know, patients who have, for example, veneers or, you know, bleached white teeth, for the first few weeks of having those treatments done, I do recommend using a straw to prevent those staining. And again, these kind of stainings are all extrinsic stainings, and you can definitely increase the frequency of your dental cleanings if you want to get rid of those. Dental cleanings are customized based on patients, and we know the standard is 6 months, but again, every patient's situation is different. Every patient's clinical condition is different. Cleanings have to be customized based on the patient.
This is all such great advice. I'm delighted that you came as a guest on our show today.
It was a pleasure to be here, and I'm so glad that we had this important discussion today.
You all know I like to end my shows with debunking a few myths. So the first myth is, I'm trying to get pregnant, so I don't need to worry about my oral hygiene. Dr. Krypak, what would you say to that?
You're trying to get pregnant, and in order to increase your odds, you definitely need to have optimal dental health. It's very, very important. It can definitely interfere with anybody trying to get pregnant.
Second myth is, I'm already pregnant, so I don't need to worry about anything, including taking care of my gums and teeth.
So like we talked about, there's so much research out there showing that any untreated disease in the mouth can transfer across the placental barrier and affect the health of the fetus, which includes but is not limited to amniotic fluid infections, for example, low birth weight of fetus, preterm labor, and all of these things. So definitely once you're pregnant, if you have not had good dental treatment, now is the time to take care of your dental health, to maximize your chances of a healthy, smooth pregnancy and a healthy baby.
If you enjoyed listening to Dr. Krypak and want to learn more about fertility and pregnancy and how different diseases can affect your fertility and pregnancy, if you want to hear some success stories, please like, follow, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Until next time, we'll see you.
Pioneer.